All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And what I'd like for you to do, if you can do this, is put a ribbon there, okay? Because we are going to come back to Ephesians 3. Then we're going to come back again to Ephesians 3. So we'll just keep a ribbon there. That'll make it nice and quick. Oh, there you go. Okay, Zach's got you there, Ronnie. We've been looking at some things regarding the one body the last number of weeks. I suppose these aren't typical in the sense that, you know, if I say I'm going to share on the one body, you know, perhaps some certain scriptures come to mind as one body scriptures. But really, we opened up with the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because that is absolutely critical to understanding some of the truths that we're getting into regarding the one body. You know, He is Lord. God made Him Lord. And we never preach ourselves. Remember we read that a few weeks back? But we preach Christ Jesus, the what?
Lord.
The Lord. And He's Lord because God made Him Lord. See? You know, it was just an eye-opener for me the day I saw that. That, you know, I didn't make Him Lord. I just agreed with God. That's what I did. Really. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's like, when that happened, it was like, whoa. And it was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. We don't make Him Lord. We just accept what God's done. And then we considered some things regarding Jesus Christ being head of the body. You know, and just understanding He's a living Lord. And as head of the body, He does what the Word says He does. He's not like a figurehead, you know? That's not what this is. Jesus Christ is alive. He really is. He really is alive. He really is head of the body. He really is Lord. He really is coming back to gather His church together. That's really going to happen. And we're really going to be with Him for the rest of eternity. We really are. All of this stuff is real. It's not a religion. It's not something the man pulled out of their rear end. It is real. It is what God has done. Isn't that something? Just to know that. And we're going to see this. We'll read a verse this morning where we've got the proof born within. We've got the absolute proof. There are many things that people accept, many things that people believe, many things that people push. But one thing that I can absolutely prove, and that is that Jesus Christ lived, that He died, that God got Him up from the dead, and that He's coming back to gather me together. That I can prove. The one thing I can prove. I kind of believe that George Washington lived, but I can prove Jesus Christ did. Do you understand that? It's really magnificent what God's given us and what God's done for us, see? And just to have this born within. It's just exciting. Anyway. So what I want to look at this morning is, and I'd be remiss if we didn't consider some of this, even if it's somewhat of a cursory look. But it's that aspect of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ that the Word of God refers to as the mystery. It was that which was hid in God, and we're going to look at some of that. And we're going to consider at least one of the big reasons why it was hid in God. And to me, it's a verse that I've known for, you know, over 40 years, but it's still, when I read that verse and really sit back and think about it, it's one of those moments. You know, it blows my mind what God has done here. And it's with a view to what we just talked about a minute ago, you know, the return, the gathering together, and our being with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Isn't that something? Just to be a part of this stuff. But I wanted to start here in Ephesians chapter 3. And for right now, although we will be coming back, we're going to read verse 9. And it says, and to make all, King James reads, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Really to, and I most of you are aware of this, but to understand this verse accurately, the word that's translated fellowship is actually in every other critical Greek text, except for Stephen's, is the word for administration. Here is translated fellowship because of the Stephen's text, but it should be the word administration. It's the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. And the rest of that verse is not in any critical Greek text and in the vast majority of every other text. It was just simply added. And so it should just simply read, and to make all see what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, or from time beginning, we'll see a couple other things regarding this, have been hid in who? Hid in God. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 16. And we're going to look at a number of familiar verses, but it's going to be in light of this. Romans chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up in verse 25. Verse 25 reads, Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That, I love that. That phrase just kind of takes my breath away. Because Romans opens up with the gospel of God. It's the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? But you know, Paul put his whole life on the line for that gospel. And here in Romans 16:25, he calls it my gospel. Isn't that something? Anyway. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation or the revealing of the mystery. That's that mystery that was hid in God that we just read about in Ephesians, which was kept secret since the world began, or since the age began. Isn't that beautiful? But now is made manifest. It's made evident. It's made clear. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of believing, or the faith. It's for obedience, so that we have one thing to believe, this mystery. This mystery has been made known, and it's that mystery which was hid. It was hid from the ages. Isn't that something? And it was hid in God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read at least one of the reasons, and it's a big one, for the why. Why it was hid in God. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony. And the word testimony should be the word, and it's in the Greek, it's mysterion. And the vast majority of scholars and many translations translate this as mystery, or mystery of God, or the secret of God. It's the word for mystery rather than testimony. So it reads, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of word or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God. For I determined to not know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this Jesus Christ and him crucified, this would entail all of his accomplishments. These verses are really speaking to the how of what Paul did when he came into Corinth. I'm not going to get into all that, but there were a lot of things going on. And so, boy, he just you know, who Jesus Christ was, what Jesus Christ accomplished. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, should read, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, he demonstrated that which he had, that which had been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go down to verse, I'm sorry, let's just keep reading. That your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world or age, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the wisdom of God, even the hidden, which God ordained or determined before the age, the world or the age, unto what? Unto our glory. We're going to read a little bit more about that in a few minutes. See? God determined this before the age unto our glory. This was his wisdom that he hid in himself and didn't make known till he was ready to make it known. And here's a big reason why. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that something? God's purposes, his pleasure, his desire, like it says in Isaiah, would not have been carried out. Where Jesus Christ offered himself as the perfect sacrifice on behalf of all men. The devil never would have carried that out had he known what we're reading about regarding this mystery, that wisdom that was hidden in God. Isn't that something? I mean, that's just another. It's one of those verses where you just sit back and think about it. Boom. And here I am reading about it. Okay. Verse 9, as it's written, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That's right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Yeah, this is pretty awesome. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance. And that's a complete certainty. The full assurance of understanding. And that's that knowledge that has an impact. Understanding to the acknowledgement. That's that knowledge that has that impact on the knower. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, or of God concerning Christ, is how this could read. See? That mystery. Verse 3. In, and the word whom should be the word which. The Working Translation and other translations translate it this way. It's referring to that mystery of God regarding Christ. So instead of whom, it's which. In which. Here's another one of those verses. Whereas you hear a slight rumble in the brain cells. In which this mystery of God, in which are hid all the treasures of what? Bang. So, and we're reading about this. In which are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See? The wisdom of God. As a matter of fact, there's a verse. You can turn there if you like, because we're going to go back to Ephesians 3 in a moment. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reminds me of this. And this is another verse we all know. Yeah. Oh, this is just such a great section. I was going to read one verse, but we're going to start in verse 27. Because it's contrasting how the world sees things. See, you know, the world looks at the preaching of Christ as foolish. It's idiocy. It makes no sense. How does that help somebody to know God? And yet, there isn't any other way. See? The world has come up with 1,000 different ways. So it's these things that look so foolish, that looks like such a waste of time to the world, that God has done. And that's what we're reading about here. It's kind of neat. You know, verse 25, the foolishness of God, and this is irony, is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Yeah. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many of you are wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God, and those are the things that the world lauds, see, the ones they consider to be noble, mighty, honorable, which when you pull the covers off are about as far as you can get from noble, mighty, and honorable. But that's another point. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise or put to shame the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I love this. And the base things or the low-born things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in what? In his presence. See? We bring nothing to this. We bring nothing to the table. All we do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Who of God, and King James reads, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's more accurately understood as he is made unto us the wisdom of God. That wisdom of God in Christ. That mystery of God regarding Christ in which are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. And we need to understand that correctly. This is the wisdom of God on full display. It is not that all of a sudden, I am filled with the wisdom of God. We know that isn't true. Right? No. But it is the wisdom of God. And I am righteous by the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by anything I've done. I am sanctified, set apart as holy, not by anything I've done, but solely by the Lord Jesus Christ. See? I am redeemed, bought back, totally belong to God, all by what Jesus Christ did. To the world, that sounds foolish. God says it's in Christ, and it's what he's accomplished in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See? Just, it's breathtaking. It's amazing. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, which should be very easy because you have a ribbon there. Ephesians chapter 3, we read verse 9 regarding that mystery being hid in God. But I want to pick it up in verse 1. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. It's an administration of the mystery. We're going to see a little bit more about that in a moment. And it's the administration of the grace of God. See, it's really something. You know, this grace that we walk in, that we live in, that we stand in, that we are what we are, all by grace, all by the grace of God, this is that which the prophets inquired of. It talks about in Peter. Okay, we got this. There's his glory. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? It's all right. God's got this covered. But this is what I need you to do. Just tarry in Jerusalem. See? That's right. And then 10 days later, boom. First words spoken in this administration of the mystery. You know what they were? I don't either. They were speaking in tongues. But I can tell you this, they magnified God. Isn't that something? It's amazing. That spirit was poured out, and it's all by grace. You know, and that was the day when those that heard that, Peter stood up and said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to many as the Lord our God, or from afar off, that the Lord our God will call. See? You know, Peter was saying something that perhaps he didn't fully understand quite yet as to what God had brought to pass. Isn't that something? And part of the group that he was referring to and saying that were among those who said, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. See? And this grace of God said, and the promise is now unto you and to your children. Isn't that something? There you have it. See? Boy, and it just makes that grace of God stand out. And it's an administration of grace. It's just, I don't know how to say it any better. How that, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Keep your ribbon here, and we're going to look at some of those afore words, okay, leading up to what we're reading here. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we could just read all of these chapters leading up to it, but for the sake of time we're not. But Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father. Now remember, we're reading, which I wrote afore in few words regarding this mystery, which would have been revealed to Paul by revelation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Isn't that something? Holy and without blame before him. There's a scripture in Colossians that talks about Jesus Christ, because of the faithful God who's able to finish that work which he began, where Jesus Christ will present us holy and unblameable, unimpeachable before the Father one day. That's something. See? And when you start putting this stuff together, you start to understand a little bit about grace, and it's humbling. It is so humbling to see that this was all God's gig. See, and that's what we're reading about here. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Verse 6 mentions we've been accepted or made acceptable in the beloved one, regarding Jesus, that's referring to Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in, and should read Christ, which he purposed in Christ. That in the administration, again, that the administration of the fullness of times, as future, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Another aspect of this one body thing, of this Christ, was the mystery regarding our gathering together unto him. See, that all those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost until the day of his return, dead and alive, they're all in Christ. They will all get up together and be together with Christ. And Christ will present us together to the Father. Isn't that awesome? See? I just get jacked when I think about this stuff. I really do. You just sit back and it's like, I don't know. Okay, I'm just babbling here. So, let's keep going. Where did I stop? 11. In whom, verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also. And these phrases, in whom you trusted, first trusted, and then whom you also, it's the Judean and the Gentile. You know, the Judeans first heard this word regarding Christ on the day of Pentecost. But then there came a time where it moved, you know, beginning with Peter at the house of Cornelius, and it moved to the Gentiles. And then we're going to see here in Ephesians 3 that it was with a view to, it's one new man. All in Christ. It's Christ all. It's all Christ. And Christ in all. It's Christ. It's about Christ. It's Christ. See? It's the body of Christ. That's what it is. All in all. No separation. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also after that you were believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit promise. I love that. Just sealed. Boom. God's stamp. Done. See? Which is the earnest or the token, the deposit. It's a word that means, it means deposit. You know, where you put a deposit on something. That is the proof. That's the demonstration. See? That you're going to redeem this thing in full. You and I are redeemed in Christ. It's done. We are born. It can't be changed. We're born of God. We got his spirit born within. We're in Christ. That can't be undone. But there's a day of redemption coming. And that spirit that we have now, that life from God, that spirit of Christ, that Christ in you, all of that, that is the token, the deposit, the proof, the demonstration of what God has promised. Isn't that something? So every time I speak in tongues, every time I manifest spirit, I am proving, I'm demonstrating to my heart that I'm a son of God, see? And that I will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Which is the earnest of the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Isn't that beautiful? All right, let's go down to verse 22. Oh, let's read verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? That filleth all and in all. You know, there's a verse, we'll spend some time with it, not today, but down the road here in Colossians chapter 3, where in that body of Christ, in that body of Christ, there's bond nor free. There's not male, there's not female. None of that stuff. See? Isn't that something? It's Christ. That's it. That's the only standard. Christ. He is all and in all. It's all by what he did. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. We're going to read a little bit here, and then we'll wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Hey, I want you to pay attention to some things here. As we read these chapters, because it's important to understand something we're going to read in a moment in Ephesians 3. Notice the we, the us, together. That's what Ephesians is talking about. Okay? We, us. See? And so you need to keep that in mind as we read. See, this is the church. This is his body. This is Christ. See? And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show, demonstrate, exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, should read in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his what? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto or upon good works. And it's important to understand this, because in this verse you've got two ways you can go with this unto. One is where it's us producing the good works, or it is upon the good works of Christ. Context kind of dictates that it's upon the good works of Christ. And any good works that we do are in him. Right? It's really wonderful, because it's Christ. It's what he's done. Anyway. Greek scholars are probably going crazy right now. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Wow. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or at one time were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're reading regarding the mystery, what Paul wrote of four in few words. For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, Judea and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of two, Judean Gentile, one new man, so making what? So making peace. See? Isn't that something? It's all Christ. It's in Christ. There are no separations. There's nothing else. It's Christ. You in or you out? Have you believed on Christ or haven't you? See? There's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. He who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. It's really pretty crystal clear. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. We left off in verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. One new man. One. One in Christ. We are one in Christ. We are, you know, the Word of God talks about, you know, the husband and wife in marriage. They're one flesh. They become one flesh. We are one in Christ. We are one. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's where we're headed. And we have the opportunity to believe it and to walk out on it, which is some of what we're going to read in Colossians down the road. See, living who we are. We're free to do that. Isn't that something? Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the untrackable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the age hath been hid in God, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, that's the spirit realm, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Isn't that an amazing verse? That this mystery, this church, this body of Christ, of which Christ is head, Christ all and in all, that by that the spirit realm might see the multifaceted wisdom of God. You know, we read in Colossians, I think it was Colossians, in which are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. Don't ever get tired of pursuing the mystery and understanding it. Don't ever tire of growing and learning more about Christ and grace and mercy. It's so easy to get complacent and think you know. I've read these verses 1,000 times, literally 1,000 times. I've probably taught them 100 or 2. But I read them and it just, there are times where I go, oh my God. You know, those kind of go off. It's just the Word is so rich. So we don't tire of this. You know, the spirit realm watches and learns. And you know, when you think about that, and I think this is where we're going to end, but when you think about this, or what we've just read here, one of the things that I derive from that, or that I think about with that, is how precious this is. Now, I cannot influence the whole body of Christ, but I can have an effect where I am, as can you. See? Isn't that something? Where we can see one another in Christ. It's so precious. And honestly, it's rare. I hate saying that, but it's true. You know, where that one body, that church, by joints and ligaments that we read a few weeks ago, you know, is supplied and walking in love and serving in love. You know, there's a section in Colossians where Paul talks about being made a minister to fill up. You know what? Let's read that. Just one more, okay? I'm going long, and I know I am, but I do want to read this in Colossians. Philippians, Colossians 1. Oh, here it is, verse 25. It says, whereof I am made a minister, regarding Paul, according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given to me for you. And we've been reading about this administration of God that was given to Paul. Didn't we? Ephesians 3. Right. Then it says, to fulfill the word of God. This word fulfill is a word, it's fill up or to fill in a gap. And it's used of soldiers where there's a spot that needs taken care of and they fill in that gap so that there's no gap. That's what Paul's doing in his service in making known this ministry. Isn't that something? Or the mystery, rather. And that's what it's talking about. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. Isn't that something? That's the riches of the glory of this mystery, is that hope of glory, that glory which is future at the return of Jesus Christ. You know, Romans 8 talks about it. There's a number of places in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, that talk about that future glory when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's His church. It's His body that He's going to gather together. See? And we're going to be one with Him. And He, Christ, the head of the body, will present us to the Father. Isn't that something? You know, and these things are all real and they're all true. And every time you speak, and sometimes, man, the world wants to pound this out of you. You know, and you've got different standards. You've got all kinds of things that are going on due to the influence of the world. But that's why we just continue to go to God's Word. And continue to build these things. Continue to read these things. Think about them. And in this one body, we help one another to do this. Isn't that cool? That's where God's placed us. So, amen. Amen. Amen.